recent years, there's been overwhelming morphological and molecular evidence that the wood-feeding cockroach genus Cryptocercus is the sister group to termites. The most comprehensive molecular study to date was that last one by Inward, published just this past April. It was put out by the Natural History Museum in London, and in it they analyzed 5 genes, 107 species, and 11 outgroups. They found that not only are the yellow-shaded termites sister group to Cryptocercus, the red arrow, but termites are embedded within the cockroaches, making them technically cockroaches themselves. On the left-hand side are the cockroach families Noctocolidae, Polyphagidae, and Blattidae, and on the right are the Blattelids and the Blaberids. Dictyopteran phylogeny, however, is far from settled. If you caught Jessica Ware's talk on Monday, she demonstrated that every time you use a different outgroup, you get a different topology. But almost universally in all of these phylogenies, Cryptocercus comes out as sister group to termites. It's the other Dictyoptera that moves around them. As probable sister group to termites, then we have a gateway then to inferring probable character states of a common ancestor of termites and cockroaches, particularly those characteristics that may have been important in facilitating the transition from the small biparental family groups typical of Cryptocercus to the large eusocial colonies with morphological castes and division of labor typical of termites. As in other eusocial insects, most notably the Polistenes, the evolution of eusociality in termites was likely a two-phase evolutionary process. The initial stage was the switch from parental to alloparental care, and it is a behavioral change that occurs in incipient colonies of all extant termites. Its importance in the evolution of termite eusociality is grounded in data indicating that parental care is metabolically costly in both Cryptocercus and in incipient colonies of termites. If you remove eggs from Cryptocercus, about half the pairs will reproduce the following summer. The top graph, the circular line at the top. But if you allow any degree of parental care, only between 12 and 18% of pairs produce during the following reproductive period. It eventually converges, but mortality is increasing during that period of time, and there's no significant difference in mortality among treatment groups. So the results suggest that parental care has an impact on future reproduction of adults. Parents are devoting to their current offspring metabolic reserves that otherwise may have been channeled into future egg production. This is reasonable because in all studied cockroaches, both reproduction and development are closely attuned to nutritional status and can be controlled by manipulating their food source. The cost of parental care in Cryptocercus is the basis for the trophic shift hypothesis for the initial transition to eusociality in termites. In a nitrogen-poor environment, an adult may have enough resources to feed existing offspring or yolk up a new set of eggs, but not both. After an initial egg-laying period in both Cryptocercus and in termites, reproduction ceases while adults feed and otherwise care for their offspring. In young termite colonies, however, a behavioral change occurs. As that first set of nymphs develops, the oldest nymphs from the initial cohort begin assuming responsibility of and cost of feeding their younger siblings. At the same time, the development of these caregivers slows down or stops. They begin undergoing stationary molts. The female then, relieved of her parenting duties, can now devote her resources into channeling her resources into vitellogenesis again, and she resumes egg laying. So the result of this simple behavioral shift from parental to alloparental care is that first, family size starts increasing because the female can oviposit again, and second, you begin accumulating a workforce of juveniles. So if the evolutionary shift from subsocial to eusocial behavior paralleled what happens in incipient colonies of termites, then it was this developmentally arrested workforce that then served as the raw material for the elaboration of eusociality, which included, among other things, division of labor and morphological castes. Although the initial tipping point is proposed as this simple behavioral change, the shift from parental to alloparental care, there was an entire suite of life history characteristics that had to be in place in order for that transition to occur. And each of these was influential, but they can't be separated from the others because it's an interdependent character set. With that said, I am nonetheless today going to focus on just one of those, and that is the role of altricial offspring in the initiation of termite eusociality. Across cockroaches as well as across vertebrates, there are obvious gradients in the maturity and relative size of new hatchlings, ranging from immature and helpless, altricial, to complete independence from adult support, or precocial. And these developmental types are associated with specific behaviors and physical attributes. In birds, for example, development at hatch is typically classified using four criteria: whether the eyes are open or closed, whether or not they hatch with or without feathers, their degree of mobility, and the type of parental care that they receive. In altricial birds, like this European kingfisher, the young hatch with their eyes closed, they're completely devoid of feathers, they are confined to a nest, and they are dependent on adults for food. The word altricial comes from the Latin for feeder or nurse. Precocial birds, on the other hand, hatch covered in feathers with their eyes open, and within a few hours they are mobile and able to find their own food. With just some minor tweaking, you can use the same criteria for classifying development in cockroaches. Whether or not the eyes are whether the eyes are present or absent at hatch, the thickness and coloration of the cuticle, their degree of mobility, and if they receive parental care, and if they do, the type of parental care that they receive. Cryptocercus represents the extreme in altricial development among cockroaches. First instars completely lack compound eyes. They have a thin, unpigmented cuticle through which internal organs are clearly visible. Gut symbionts are not established until the third instar, and until then they are fed on hindgut fluids via anal trophallaxis. That's the business end of a parent there. They are also fed on some of the fecal pellets of the adults. Nymphs will casually nibble or ignore most of the fecal pellets of parents, but occasionally they'll put one out that incites a feeding frenzy in their offspring, and that group of nymphs is covering and competing for one of those fecal pellets. Most oviparous cockroaches, however, are precocial. Within a few hours after hatch, nymphs have well-developed eyes, the cuticle is thick and pigmented, and they forage independently for food. A nice example of the correlation of nutritionally-based parental care with altricial development occurs in the wood-feeding Panistheini, cockroaches that are remote from the Cryptocercus termite clade way out in the Blaberity, and they're remote from the termites in nearly every phylogeny that's been produced. The subsocial species Selaginea taiwanensis feeds young nymphs via oral trophallaxis. This is a shot of four nymphs feeding from the field, from the female's mouth parts, and it's taken through glass from below. Nymphs of Selaginea resemble those of Cryptocercus. They have a thin, pale cuticle through which the gut and the fat body is clearly visible. Now compare this to Panisthea, another wood-feeding cockroach closely related to Selaginea, but one that lives in aggregations. They hatch with a left-hand side here. They hatch with a well-developed eye. They have a pigmented cuticle. And Selaginea, on the other hand, has just a trace of omatidia when it hatches, and the thin, pale cuticle, as in Cryptocercus. The most current phylogenetic analysis of the Panisthean group indicates that Panisthea, the one in blue, isn't monophyletic, but all tested cell genera grouped together. Both taxa, however, clearly fall within the same subfamily and had a fairly recent common ancestor. The two genera, then, are closely related. They're ecologically similar. Both live in and feed on rotting wood. So the big difference between them lies in their social structure. This suggests that eye development and cuticular pigmentation at hatch is correlated with the presence and type of parental care in wood-feeding cockroaches. Cryptocercus, however, takes altricial development one step further in that the eggs and consequently the first instars are extremely small when they hatch out. If you plot the length of the terminal oocyte against the length of the adult in 19 cockroach species, you find that there is a significant relationship between adult size and egg size. Statistical programs, however, will give you a warning that one of these points is an outlier, and that point turns out to be Cryptocercus. Eggs are about half of expected size of a cockroach of its dimensions. These small eggs translate into small first instars, even relative to other wood-feeding cockroaches. In two species of Cryptocercus, the two top ones, the relative head capsule width of first instars is about 15% of that of adults, while the subsocial cell genera is about twice that and similar to that of the gregarious Panisthea at the bottom. So Cryptocercus again comes out about half of expected size when it is compared to other wood feeders, even the two species of cell genera that hatch with a thin, pale cuticle and just a few omatidia. So what can we infer then from Cryptocercus having the tiniest, most dependent offspring of any studied cockroach? If this extreme dependency characterized the common ancestor that Cryptocercus shared with termites, it suggests that altricial development may have been an important precondition for the evolution of termite eusociality. The reason that it was an important precondition is because it allows a parent to share the cost of rearing offspring. Altricial development changes the nature and the temporal dimension of parental care. It draws it out in time. Consider a distant ancestor with precocious nymphs. Female lays eggs, then leaves. Her cost of nourishing her offspring consists solely of the yolk she deposited in the oocytes. When the nymphs hatch, they are independent and able to find their own food. In Cryptocercus, however, the female avoids a large metabolic cost prior to hatch by reducing the size of her eggs. However, these tiny offspring require continued reproductive investment in the form of feeding before they can become independent. The female spreads the cost of being a parent over a longer time interval, and more importantly, it gives other members of the social group the opportunity to assume responsibility for some of the duties. Vitellogenesis is the province of the mother. She alone assumes the physiological cost of provisioning eggs. It is a non-shareable reproductive investment. There is, however, nothing that is stage or sex-specific about hindgut fluids as far as we know. So the male or any other member of the social group is able to feed those newly hatched dependent young. It is a parental investment that is not necessarily restricted to parents. This trend of increasing shareable investment has reached the extreme in termites, where the eggs are extraordinarily small, allowing females to produce more of them for a given resource base, and resulting in the highly dependent first instars that characterize termite colonies. They are basically little more than exposed embryos that are fed, groomed, and carried from place to place. And most of the cost of getting them to the point of feeding themselves is assumed by the workers, not the parents. Altricial development then allowed for the switch from parental to alloparental care during the initial phase of termite eusociality. And similarly, interesting enough, there's an association between social evolution and juvenile development in birds. Helpers at the nest occur only in those bird species that have altricial development. The newly hatched have to need parenting before you can switch to alloparenting. In termites, the initial switch to alloparental care resulted in this developmentally arrested workforce with many of the physical characteristics of altriciality. In the majority of termite species, they're blind, have a thin cuticle, and are dependent on their fellow colony members. It was those physical aspects of juvenile altriciality that in many ways then served as the raw material for the further elaboration of eusociality. And that's too big a subject to include in the time I have left, but I want to give one brief example. A thin cuticle in particular may have had powerful implications for the trajectory that termite eusociality eventually took, primarily because it makes them so vulnerable. Vulnerable to pathogens in the microbe-laced environments they inhabit, leading to sanitary behaviors like allo-grooming. Vulnerable to predators like ants, and probably influential in the evolution of the soldier caste, and also vulnerable to water loss, possibly leading to mechanisms of controlling the microclimate of the nest. So currently the strongest evidence we have is that termites evolved as juvenilized cockroaches, and as much as most of the termite biologists I know hate the idea that their favorite organisms are actually cockroaches, that heritage can nonetheless be a very productive framework for examining termite evolutionary biology, particularly if you can root them in developmental trends common in other social organisms. Thank you.